And as students return to campus at Stanford this fall, they'll face a new policy regarding alcohol consumption. No hard liquor allowed at undergraduate student parties on campus, and any students storing hard liquor in the dorms or in common areas cannot store bottles that are larger than 750 milliliters, which is about the size of a standard bottle of wine. The policy comes after a Stanford swimmer named Brock Turner was convicted of sexually assaulting an unconscious woman behind a dumpster on the campus. Turner's attorney blamed a culture of partying and drinking as a contributing factor for the assault. He was ordered to serve just 6 months in prison and, because of time off for good behavior, is scheduled to be released on Friday after serving just 3 months. The judge in the case, Santa Clara County Superior Court Judge Aaron Persky, last week asked to be taken off any future criminal cases and was reassigned to the county's civil court. So, about that new alcohol policy on the campus, not everyone thinks it's a good idea, including Michelle Dauber, a law professor at Stanford who joins us now. Welcome.
Thank you.
And you've been critical of the sentence handed down by Persky. And after this new alcohol policy was announced, you tweeted, quote, "Sadly, Stanford appears to agree with Brock Turner that alcohol and party culture are to blame for his conduct." Can you explain what you mean by that?
Yes. When Mr. Turner was sentenced, he said repeatedly that he felt really what he had done wrong was that he had fallen in with the wrong crowd and had been engaged in a lot of use of alcohol and in Stanford's party culture, really attributing his decision to commit his sexual assault crimes to the culture of alcohol use at Stanford. And of course, that isn't true. And I think the timing, unfortunately, of this policy suggests that Stanford is adopting that perspective as well.
You've also suggested that the hard alcohol policy might make matters worse. How?
Yes, I think that is definitely true. I think that if you look at the policy, it has two parts. One part is that we will no longer allow hard alcohol at parties. The other part is that we will allow hard alcohol in the dorm rooms of upperclassmen in unlimited amounts, although in smaller size containers. So what that means is that students now have an incentive to engage in aggressive consumption of alcohol, hard alcohol, in the rooms of upperclassmen's pre-gaming, drinking a lot very quickly before the party because they know it won't be available at the party, or even worse, between parties. It means students will be in the dorm rooms of upperclassmen drinking behind closed doors, trying to consume alcohol on their way to the next party. I think that's a very dangerous situation. And I think that, you know, however well-intentioned this policy may be, it is creating incentives that could really increase risk, not just of sexual assault, but also of alcohol-related injuries, alcohol poisoning.
So you think the university should have just not introduced any new policy at all?
Well, it would be good if we enforced the policies that we already had, which we did not. And it would also be good if we looked at some other things that could be contributing to the Brock Turner-type situation of risk, which have to do with policing the behavior of fraternities at Stanford. Don't forget, this was a recruited athlete who committed his crime at a fraternity party. Stanford could look at, have we created a culture of entitlement, particularly sexual entitlement, within our recruited athletics program? I think that question is certainly raised here. And are fraternities complying with the alcohol policies that we already have in place? Because there's a lot of evidence that they are not.
By the way, we invited the university to talk with us about the new policy, and they gave us a statement saying this is just an update to their policy and is an attempt to reduce the availability of hard alcohol on campus. But let me ask you this, Michelle Dauber. Do you think that hard alcohol consumption in excess leads to high-risk behavior at all? Or do you think that those two things need to be separated out, that people make their decisions whether they have hard alcohol or not?
I think it's important to understand the relationship between alcohol and sexual assault. Alcohol is a tool that is used by sexual assault perpetrators because it weakens the ability of a victim to resist or respond. It is not the case that a student may engage in assaulting another student because they are otherwise someone who wouldn't engage in that behavior, but then they, sort of lost their faculties while they were intoxicated.
It's an excuse, you're saying.
Well, it's not an excuse legally.
But they're using it as an excuse for their behavior, which they would have done anyway.
Well, I just think it's very important to keep these things separate. Now, you asked me a different question, which is, does alcohol lead to excessive alcohol consumption lead to high-risk behavior? And so we're going to bracket sexual assault because I think that's a different category. And I'm going to say, yes, of course, no one is in favor of students becoming intoxicated excessively by alcohol or by drugs either. I mean, Stanford also has a lot of illegal drug use going on campus and designer drug use. So nobody's in favor of any of that behavior. The question isn't, is it a good thing? The question is, given that alcohol consumption is going to happen on campus, what is the safest evidence-based set of policies that we can have that reduces the risk of things like sexual assault and also other things? And this set of policies is not evidence-based, and it is very unlikely not only to reduce these issues, it's likely to increase them. The container size restriction is literally one of the dumbest things I have ever heard. You can have an unlimited amount of hard alcohol in your room as long as it's in little bottles. I mean, how is that going to do anything? I just think that we need to use evidence-based policies. And if you look, say, for example, at Dartmouth, which executed a campus-wide hard alcohol ban, you found that students uniformly said that they flouted the policy routinely and still engage in the same amount of alcohol consumption. There's very little evidence that that had any impact.
So what do you think would have an impact on the issue of sexual assault on campus? You mentioned policing, but in this case, you would have had to have some sort of authority figure right in the area where this was happening in order to stop it, wouldn't you?
No, actually, I think in that area, better lighting and video camera external surveillance of the fraternity house would have been to a great benefit. And I will say that as of right now, Stanford has yet to improve the lighting in that area or implement cameras in the area external to fraternity houses. So I think there are some kind of basic things that are still undone. And I think that, again, we need to look at recruited athletics. We need to look at fraternities. What we know from research is that fraternities are a site of tremendous danger for undergraduate women. A federal study found that if an undergraduate woman goes to one fraternity party per month, she elevates her odds of experiencing an alcohol-assisted sexual assault by 38%. I mean, that is a huge effect, and that is statistically significant. So fraternities are a serious location of danger.
Do you think fraternities should go away on the Stanford campus?
I think that some schools are looking at that. So Harvard, for example, has decided that they do not believe that fraternities should continue. They don't have authorized fraternities at all. And now they are doing things that are taking big steps to weaken even the unofficial fraternities that they have. I think that in the wake of the Turner case, one thing that has really disappointed me is if you look at the leadership that Harvard has shown on this issue and you compare it with the lack of leadership, I think, that Stanford has shown, there really is no comparison. The lack of willingness to even begin to look at that question, I think, is very disappointing. That doesn't mean that I think that we should step right in and eliminate fraternities. Let me give you an example. At Stanford, sororities are dry. And so if a sorority wants to host a party that has alcohol, they have to host it in conjunction with a fraternity at a fraternity house. That is a policy that essentially requires our undergraduate women to go to the location of greatest danger in order to have that party with alcohol. That makes no sense.
So given all the points that you have made, why do you think the university decided to implement this new hard alcohol policy, especially when to some, including you, it comes across as the university agreeing with Brock Turner's defense that alcohol led to what happened with the sexual assault?
I think, unfortunately, there are some people in the leadership of this university who do subscribe to the view that sexual assault can be a alcohol-fueled misunderstanding or miscommunication. I've heard that view expressed many times by members of the administration. It's not a view that I agree with, and I don't think it's a view that's supported by research or science.
Do you get into any trouble as a law professor at Stanford when you speak out so publicly about what the leadership of the university is doing?
Yes, sometimes I do. But I still think that it's important when I think that the university is engaging in policies or practices that are not evidence-based and are likely to lead to a situation of greater danger. I think it is my responsibility to share that view with all, you know, due respect to the administration of the university. I'm not arguing that they don't care or aren't trying to do the right thing. What I am saying is that however well-intentioned these moves are, they are very likely to lead to some increased risk rather than decreased risk.
That's Michelle Dauber, who is a law professor at Stanford University and has come out against a new Stanford policy limiting the use of hard alcohol for undergraduates. Michelle Dauber, thank you.
Thank you so much.